Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. Each and every week, we're on a number of different stations in several different states, from Las Vegas down to Albuquerque up to Tahoe, and certainly in Southern California, where a couple of our main stations are in the Inland Empire, San Bernardino and Riverside counties. Saying hi to everybody in those areas. Really appreciate you listening. We bring to you news as well as advice and commentary and a bunch of guests that talk about different aspects of what's going on in the industry, what's going on in business. We occasionally run a entrepreneur section of the show where we bring people on who have either started a business or are looking to start a business or trying to find a way to be able to get their business or the word of their business out to other people. So today we have a couple of guests coming on to talk about marketing a little bit and to really share the wisdom of what the current market is. One thing about the political climate that's been in the U.S. for a number of years now, certainly through the last election cycle for the president, what we saw is a tremendous amount of propaganda from whoever it is that's selling you something. And the interesting part of that is that the consistency over time, plus the way by which the message or the whatever they're trying to say gets you to do something. So I wanted to talk to our two guests when they come on today about how that works and how you can plan, like, your business. You own a restaurant. We were just talking about a couple of restaurants. Or you own, you know, a newly open business online or otherwise. How do you get people to figure out where you are and to start to at least investigate what you do, maybe use your services? Really interested in that because I think as we, you know, we're struggling through COVID, right? But as I saw yesterday, 166 million Americans have two shots, two vaccines, and that's a good thing, and I think that number will continue to rise. School is back in session in this local area, maybe in the area that you're listening to right now. It's also happening. It is helter-skelter out there. I went by a school today, driving by, and it just looked like the parents were, you know, not sure what's happening. Some people had a mask. Some people didn't. It's just, like I say, it's insane out there. I think, however, getting through this and through to Thanksgiving, we're going to see a slow and steady progress towards more and more people getting the vaccine, especially when they open up the lower 12 and under group, which I think is also coming very soon. What I mean to say is it's a great time to open a business. So we wanted to get to people who can help you if you're thinking about doing that. Now, in the mortgages and in the real estate end of the market, of what we do here on The Mortgage Voice, try to help you decide if it's time to not do a mortgage, if it's time to do a mortgage, a refinance, or maybe buy that house. Inventory is up. Now, why is inventory up? I just said it. The kids are back to school. So a lot of people who had to move, moved already. And a lot of people who were looking aren't, because once children are back in school, now this hasn't happened for quite some time, so it's a very big event for many families. And therefore, if you haven't had your child in school for a year, or they've been doing Zoom learning, and now you're walking them to school and picking them up in the afternoon, all of this is new because we haven't done it in 18 months, almost 2 years. You're not going to be thinking about buying a house because you're so concerned about the health and welfare of your family or fighting the neighbors, whether they do or they don't. You know, it's just one of the things that I think we can do in the business is encourage your attention span to go to something positive. And to me, starting a new business, figuring out what to do online. My niece, she has a business. She's had it for a number of years. It's online. It's not an Amazon business. She sells stones, not diamonds or rubies or any of these kind of stones, but just semi-precious stones that she has accumulated through a number of trades or purchases back and forth. Now, she's been doing this business probably 6 or 7 years, online business. It was interesting how she got started at that time. And currently, she's making, you know, about $600,000-$700,000 a year trading stones, buying and selling stones, buying low, selling high, or buying in bulk and selling individually. It's kind of an amazing thing. But I like it because, one, she's younger, obviously, than me, like by 50 years almost, and seeing someone successful. So I think, given that, you two, and that's why we're bringing these people on. Okay, let's get to a few things, a few news. News to use section of the show. 30-year fixed rate is at 2.93, 2.38 for the 15-year. The FHA loan is at 2.65. Your jumbo loan is at 3.10, and the 5-1 ARM is at 2.50. All of these numbers are just incredibly good. So if, in fact, you are in a loan and you haven't yet locked, all of these numbers are good. You can't go wrong. And if you're fretting about it, you really have to take a look at your finances to see if, in fact, your job is secure and you're ready to, you know, plunk down that deposit, whatever it is, or if it's a 3.5% down payment through FHA, what is the likelihood of your job remaining for the next 10, 15, 20 years? You want to make sure, because taper is coming. Everybody knows what that is by now. If you don't, you've been asleep. The bond buying by the Fed at the there's two bond buying, right? The mortgage-backed securities is, let's see, what is that, $40 billion a month, and the treasuries are $80 billion a month. So that's $120 billion a month that the Fed is buying in order to keep rates down. That is not going to continue. I read today that 4 out of 9 of the Fed governors want to raise the short-term interest rates, which will, again, raise the The 10-year is directly affected to mortgage rates. Now, again, these are not directly, like, if you raise this, this is what happens. But in general, that is what happens, especially if the Fed stops the stimulus and begins to taper back on what the purchases are in both the treasuries and the mortgage-backed securities. You're going to see a panic in the market. When they did it before in 2013, after the mortgage meltdown of 2008, there was a great deal, what they called at the time, quantitative easing. There was QE1, QE2, QE3. Well, now we know this to be exactly what's happening today as a result of the pandemic. What happened in 2013 when the taper started then? They had something called a taper tantrum. Yes, yes. Everybody loves alliteration when it comes to headlines and other things to make you remember it. I remembered it, and I'm on air trying to remember anything. So the taper tantrum, what happened is markets went a little bonkers, bond prices skyrocketed, the dollar actually increased in value as it always does, the rush to the dollar when there's volatility worldwide, which what happened with the taper not only happened here in the U.S., but it happened over in Europe, and it happened obviously in the Far East and countries like China and India. So given that being what it is, the taper happening, and it's going to happen, the 4 Fed governors said they wanted it to happen immediately, October being the latest. Some are saying that the agreement is now going to happen in November, November 1st, let's say, and what that means is the tapering will be, okay, we'll not do the 80-40, we'll do the 75-35, and then the following, the month after that, we'll do, you know, a similar type, $5 billion a month less each month for 8 months until the actual stimulus period is over. That's going to affect markets. It's going to affect rates. And so as we move forward in the summer, you really got to consider whether now is the best time. I always say lock if you got a rate that you can afford and you're happy with it. If you wait and wait and wait, well, I can't really say that over the last 3 or 4 years because when you waited, the rates actually did go down. But I don't think that is going to happen now. I think what will happen is you will see this taper happen either at the beginning of September, beginning of October, or beginning of November. One of those 3 months, you will see the taper start, and that will affect bonds, which will immediately affect what's happening in the mortgage interest rates. So word to the wise. Couple of things going on. Rocket Mortgage. Oh, hey, we got a minute left. Okay, Rocket Mortgage and UWM. They've been fighting this war for quite some time. The margins at UWM, read an article on Housing Wire, is 81 basis points. That is 0.8%. That's what they're making, and it's down from like 2.5%. Margins at large companies matter because the overhead there is so much greater. I work for a company, Malibu Funding. The overhead needs compared to a company like UWM, which has, you know, a ton of volume that they do, plus the many, many people that work there, as well as the infrastructure and all the money they spend on software and all that. Anyway, that's important to know. And because of that fact, we could be seeing a shrinking margin across the industry, which means that rates are also going to go up. These are two things to consider when you're looking at a mortgage. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. Each and every week, we try to bring to you information that can help you, whether you're buying and selling real estate or whether you're needing a mortgage. Obviously, with The Mortgage Voice being our name, that's what we do. And we look at your credit score, or we look at some of the problems you might be having with the people you're doing loans with. We don't always have the solutions, but we try to bring people on the show who do. One of the realtors that I've been wanting to have back on the show, she's been on the show a couple times, Bambi Oleschik, and she is here from... Bambi, where exactly are you doing your business now?
The San Fernando Valley.
Oh, I love the San Fernando Valley. Hot there today? How's it going out there?
It's about, 90 degrees here, but, kind of humid, but it's a great day.
Okay, for those of you who are listening to the show down in Albuquerque or up in Tahoe or in Las Vegas, Nevada, this part of Los Angeles is just north of the downtown area. The valley has been made famous for many, many generations from a number of different people. But there's a lot of people that live there, a lot of businesses. Tell us about what's happening in the real estate in that market.
Well, you know what? Things are really great. Inventory is very, very low.
Yep.
So, buyers are struggling. But, for homeowners, it's a great time. I mean, you basically think about selling your house, and you've got 20 offers on it. So things are going up, and people are selling fast.
Do you think because now school is open and this is the first time in a long time that actual kids are showing up to classes, do you think that's going to raise the inventory because people are more worried now about getting their kids to school, keeping them safe, and bringing them home rather than looking for a new house?
That's a possibility. My gut feeling says that the next few months are going to say something to us.
Right.
Either people are, depending on how people are feeling at this time, they're either going to move out of the state and they don't care what part it is, what time of the year it is, or they're going to kind of wait it out, see how the school year goes, see how the cases go in the schools and the mask thing for the kids. And
right.
I think they're going to make their decision from there, but I think a lot of people are they're going to wait and see. I think if they're thinking about selling, though, they're going to sell.
I like the wait and see attitude. I think that's true with a lot of things. I mean, if we see the health of, students back in school not affecting, the health of the family, it's going to... Yes?
You got cut off.
Oh, sorry. I'm here.
There you are.
Excellent. No, I was just saying, I think that the kids going back to school, maintaining health in the family is primary, but if that's okay, people are very much going to be interested in shopping for a house.
That's right. And honestly, if people, depending on how the recall goes, if somebody comes in who gives them school choice, that's going to make a lot of difference too, because if they can go to whatever school they want and the funds follow the child, they'll make a decision to move to, a different area and not just be in an area because of a school, because they can always go to that school.
Interesting. I didn't know that was one of the main issues. Since I haven't really followed the recall effort, I think a lot of the policy decisions can affect real estate. It always seems to, especially with taxes, usually is what you hear that affects people moving out of the state, which obviously is about real estate.
Yes.
But with the school choice issue, that's very interesting. And if you can't attend a good school, you can always move to a different area, which might have a different effect on both the price you pay for real estate and the availability of housing.
That's right, exactly. So maybe, some places, some things will make it a little more affordable for some families if the funds can follow the child,
Yeah.
But you don't... No. But right now, people are looking to move out of the state because of the taxes. You're absolutely right.
Well, a million people left over from the last census that was done 10 years ago, and that has lost California a congressional seat, as everybody knows. So, yes, even though it's the most populous state, it's not the most popular state, if you know what I mean.
That's right, exactly.
Right, exactly. Okay, so when you get a buyer and they're in this particular market and they're looking for a property and they've been searching around, what have you noticed about the ability of one buyer to get the property versus another buyer? What is the secret? Is there a secret, or is it just about how much you pay?
You know what? It is about how much you pay. That's honestly what the secret is.
Okay.
There are, you know, I just sold a house for $70,000 over list price.
Wow.
A lot of houses, a friend of mine sold one for over $100,000 over list price.
Wow.
So it's all about money. It is absolutely all about the money. So what I do is for my clients, if they can afford, you know, say $850, then I'll show them properties up to like $750, $800 so that I have that padding to offer a little bit more. I'm not going to let a buyer overpay and not be able to afford a house just because, you know, they can afford $850, but they need to pay $950 for it, you know?
Well, we're in this low environment, this low interest rate environment for a mortgage. Your dollar obviously stretches a little bit more when you're looking to go out there and buy a house. But since prices have really risen like 10, 15, 20% over the year, it's really difficult to try to figure out what range your house is going to be purchased at, or that you can suggest to your buyers where do they go and how much do they spend. How do you handle that?
You know, I look at the comparables. I try not to let my clients overpay because
right.
I just don't believe in that.
Right.
So I'm really, really careful. Like I said, I'll look at houses that are below what they can afford, knowing that these homes will appraise at, you know, $50,000 over asking price. But I'm not going to let them go above that. And I would rather take them to see 200 homes and write 47 offers than, you know, just one house at a time. I mean, I had clients out not too long ago where we literally saw 10 houses in a day and wrote 9 offers.
Oh, my.
And
oh, my.
Yeah, just, it was like honestly throwing wet, you know,
spaghetti in the wall. Right.
Yeah.
I know. I think that's really, really difficult to continue to go out there. And for you to stay motivated to write all those contracts on a daily or a weekly basis, that says a lot about your commitment to the client.
I am committed to my clients. I'm, you know, really faithful to them, and I want them to get the best deal they can possibly get. And I'm not going to put them in a situation that's going to, you know, bankrupt them, basically, or have them lose the house in the next few months. It just doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't, and I think that particular, it probably rings true to your clients that's the level of commitment you have to them, probably makes them feel good about the decisions that they're making based on your advice.
It really does. The only thing that makes me sad sometimes is that, you know, they come in with a specific set of needs, and
right.
Everybody else has those same specific set of needs, and they have to kind of start dwindling down to, okay, we want this. Oh, okay, well, now we can't have the pool, so
right.
We'll get a large backyard. Okay, well, we can't get the large backyard, so we'll go into a gated community that has the pool and a smaller backyard, but we can play in the streets and, you know, that kind of thing.
What does $700,000 buy you in the San Fernando Valley?
A condo.
What? A condo. Oh, come on, please. Really?
Yeah, Panorama City and Pacoima are
wow.
700.
Wow.
I don't even know that there's an area in North Hollywood that's like 750, maybe. You know, it honestly depends on your luck. I have not seen too many houses that are under 800, and if
wow.
they are, they're sold in hours.
Wow, that's just, it's an amazing thing when you can, well, I mean, I've been here not for, well, maybe 30 years I've been in Los Angeles, and the price of housing then compared to now, and I don't know if that's even justified, even though we have, you know, what we have in terms of low inventory and low interest rates. But, wow, that's amazing. That is just...
It is. it really is. It's shocking to me. I've been selling real estate here for over 35 years.
Right.
And it is just, it's insane to me to watch how the prices have gone up and... You know, I mean, okay, for example, I'll be listing a house in Burbank, hopefully in the next 3 to 6 months, and the house is, it hasn't had any work done to it. It's kind of the original, everything, very well kept, very well maintained. It's in Burbank, but it's like, if they just, it was a deceased kind of a thing,
yep.
And the, one of the kids took it over from the other, bought it from the other kids, and they bought it for like $700, and that was about a year or two ago. And today they can go $750 to a million on it. Or I'm sorry, $850 to a million on it.
That's insane.
I got someone today who will buy it for $950.
Wow. Well, good luck to them and you. Bambi, we're up against it. Shout out your phone number. Let people know how they can get in touch with best realtor out there in San Fernando Valley.
Ah, thank you. I think
you're welcome.
A little biased.
No, okay. It's okay.
I was Keller Williams, and my number is 818-406-7144. You can find me at 4Bambi2 on Instagram and Twitter, and Bambi's California Dreamin' on Facebook. And my email is bambisbestbuys@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from all of you.
Bambi, thank you very much. That's terrific. I really appreciate your update on what's happening in the San Fernando Valley near Los Angeles. Thank you.
No problem, Jeff. Anytime. I look forward to doing it again.
Excellent. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. Once again, we are here trying to bring you some information on mortgages, on real estate, on the things that you need to know so that you can go out there armed with the best information to either get the best rate or find the best realtor. Or in the case of today's show, what we've been trying to do is to talk to people about what happens after, meaning there are many, many businesses that have shut down over the last 18 months, 2 years. So what is the need of the clients who are now underserved? There is the need for new businesses, new people to get out there. And I always call this section the entrepreneurial section. We don't do it all the time. We do it probably 5 or 6 times a year. And we talk to new businesses, people who are trying to help those new businesses. One of the great people who also helped my particular business is Tim O'Keefe from Spider Juice Technologies. He joins us now. Tim, how are you?
Hello, thank you for having me on.
Thank you very much for coming on. Okay, so with that 5,000 words in 30 seconds or less that I just gave you, tell us a little bit about what you do and how you do help those type of businesses that are either struggling to get noticed again after COVID, which will happen sooner or later, or are trying to figure out if they open a business, what do they do to reach people?
Well, I go back 20-plus years on this interwebs thing, but as far as answering your question, I really go back even as far as college, right? Because if you took any business courses, I certainly hope they, at some level, touched on reaching people, right? The
right.
whole idea, AIDA, right? You remember
right.
from, I think mm-hmm. it was... Alex Baldwin and talking in that famous scene.
Absolutely.
It's all about, okay, what you just asked. How do we reach people? And so, you know, I'm an old football coach at heart and an old football player, so I like to keep it simple, stupid.
Uh-huh.
And I like to just, let's break it down to brass tacks. How do you go talk to people? You go talk to people.
Yeah. No, that's
so
true.
In the restaurant, if it's open this particular week of the month,
we don't know.
Say that again.
I said we don't know whether it's open. We just don't know.
Just don't know, do we? But the you talk, you get to meeting people, right? I have, and I've always, that's not necessarily part of my nature. I don't sit there and by nature go into a place and just, I do now, but I didn't grow up with that. I was always amazed at the guy who or the gal who just starts talking to everybody
right.
as if they know them. And, you know, it's fake it till you make it. So that's, I mean, number one. I mean, let's not forget humanity, right? That's where it's all at. But so along comes this interwebs thing.
Right.
Jump forward. And everybody's hiding behind their device, right? Behind
yep.
first it was their desktop, their laptop, and then now their phone and everything else. So how do you get to them? And so my first way is go around the normal devices that we hide behind. You know, whether that be actually, like I was kind of tongue-in-cheek saying, go talk to people on
right.
the street, I'm only sort of kidding.
Right.
Those people don't get talked to. You know, I came right out of college, and I don't even know if you know this, I got my real estate license. I worked for Remax Beach Cities in Manhattan Beach and eventually played all right. And we, my partner and I, got into, you know, all the, like everybody does, you know, how do we get better? And we started going to seminars and followed Mike Ferry, and he
right.
said, go knock on doors.
Yep, yep.
Go knock on doors. All right, we're going to go knock on doors because we're coachable. Man, we walked around almost half of Westchester and maybe two people opened the door. Now, I say that to this day, saying that I did it once with Mike, my partner, just once, and maybe it was a bad day or whatever, right? This is probably close to 30 years ago.
Right.
And I've also have talked to people over the years that laughed at me arrogantly as they described the amount of money they made by actually going out and knocking on doors. And so there's something to be said to, again, the human factor. And the fact is nobody's knocking on anybody's doors these days, except the one lone wolf who happens to be actually making connections with people, which is, you know, I think in mortgage and real estate, that's what they say is important. You know, this is a people business, right?
Yep.
You hear that all the time. But we want to overthink things. So I'm saying that as the guy who's the digital guy, right? People, you think of me, I am sure, and
uh-huh.
other people. And the reality of it is the humanity is what always will work. That digital gizmo that's out there is just a tool of the day. Some of the tools will last forever so far. You know, SEO, getting ranked on the search engines. Now, it's changed quite a bit on how you do that, but that's one way. And by the way, what can you do right now to help your business is if you don't have a Google My Business, which is at business.google.com, if you don't have that, you kind of sort of probably are not on Google. I don't, even if you are, Google is not going to give you the respect that you should have. And so business.google.com, get on there, make sure you've claimed your business, and you know, there's more intricacies than that, but
sure.
a lot of times by just claiming it, completely fill it out, you'll end up being ahead of your competition. Just that. Now, that is SEO in 2021. Okay, 2021
yep.
is start with Google My Business, and then we'll go back and we'll worry about your website and make sure it all matches up and all that stuff and get both of them to rank, because sometimes the Google My Business, or as we call it, the three-pack, where they show the little map on the front page, and depending if you're on a phone or if you're on a regular laptop, you'll get a little bit of a different result, but you need to be on that. So what else is new? Well, that's not new, but it's sort of,
Right.
Google loves itself first.
Yes, they do. Hope they're not listening.
No. Yeah, they probably are.
Yeah, exactly. I think so, too. I'm all over YouTube, so.
Weird ads after I hang up.
Right, exactly. You'll get a ring on ring, and then nobody will be there. Right. So, okay, so we have about a minute left. What I'd like to do is just give you a chance to tell people how to reach you and a little bit more about what you can do for them so that, you know, they know where to go and how to get there. If you could do that, that'd be great.
Well, traditionally, like I said, since the 90s, we've provided SEO. And then as the world moved on, we were first out of the block in blogging, so we're experts in that, and then into social media, which is just sort of short form blogging,
right?
And so again, how our take is not to live on any one island other than the biggest giver of traffic and leads, which is Google. And
right.
So how does all of that other stuff on, say, social media, on Facebook, just to pick on the most obvious, how does that serve my SEO? And the way that we do that, we make sure that it does. And so there's two ways in my book to do the Internet. One is for us, you know, to serve the Google gods, which is pure SEO, and we leverage everything else to go to that place. But some of us spend a lot of time on Instagram or Facebook. So what do you do with that? Well, it's something I call persona building.
Hey, Tim, I'm sorry. We have run up against our clock, unfortunately, and I got to get
sure.
to my commercial break. But I want to have you back to continue the discussion if you've got time.
I absolutely will.
Awesome, dude. I really appreciate it. This has been Tim O'Keefe. He is with Spider Juice Technologies. Tim, shout out a phone number or a website. People can get a hold of you.
SpiderJuiceTechnologies.com, 310-533-9145. Jeff, thank you so much.
Thank you, too, very much. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. For each and every week, we are on a number of different stations, 5 stations, 3 different states, and we're on a number of different podcasts. And those podcasts are... I got them.
Oh, man, you're looking at me. Okay. Yeah, I do got them. YouTube, Apple Podcast, Google Music Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, and... of course, we're also on
Podclips.
Podclips.io.
Excellent. Podclips.io. A lot of different podcasters there giving you information on a number of different topics. I'm in the finance section. Of course, there's real estate and there's lifestyle and there's health and there's sports. And yeah, it's a pretty good place. It's a central place. And as I said, a lot of good information there. Also, we're on YouTube. Go to YouTube, see the show. A number of different radio stations that we're on. Show the show each week on their video feed. But YouTube will carry it and has so for the last, I don't know, 5 years, 8 years. We have hundreds of shows on there. We do a Mortgage Minute on LinkedIn and Facebook. Yes, we're all over the place. But today, I am very happy once again to bring on the show Nina Penny from Malibu Funding, who does a lot of reverse mortgages. If you're a person out there who is thinking about it, this is the expert. Nina, how are you?
Doing great, Jeff. How are you today?
I am great. Thank you very much. How are your travels, and have you decided on what's the best place for you to be to do the job that you are all obviously gifted to do? Are you down in Arizona? Are you in northern Arizona, southern Arizona? Where are you?
So I live in central Phoenix, but most
okay.
of my business in the state of Arizona is in Prescott. I work California. And I will be I think I'm almost fully licensed in Texas.
Excellent. Oh, we're licensed in Texas, too. Texas is a great place. There's a lot of very, you know, down-to-earth, middle-of-the-road people. Texas gets a bad rap, and I don't think that that's right. I love the state. I have a lot of friends down there, and you should do well down there. Tell me about your business.
So business is great. You know, I would say 95% of my business has always been reverse mortgages for purchase transactions.
Okay.
There's not too many people that do them good, and I love that niche. But I will say that up until very recently, with the home values doing great and the low values, of course now we're seeing a lot of refinances of reverse mortgages.
Okay.
And it's not really by rule of thumb, but you know what? You can do them. If you have a good growth in your home equity, you can refinance. The closing costs are lower because the mortgage insurance should go away.
Right.
And you know what? You get a lot more cash out of your home.
Now, last couple of years, we've had an election. We've had prices go up. We've had, obviously, equity in the home. Any new trends in the reverse mortgage area? Now, I say new trends. What I mean is the guidelines that they have. Have they upped the amount of money that you need to have in your home? Have they lowered it? Is it all pretty much as it's been in the last few years?
Well, it's all pretty much the same. Of course, now with the lower rates, right?
Right.
You're having access to more cash.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So because right now rates are low, when rates go up, then, you know, that amount that you'll have access to will decline. But right. On the bright side, that for people that like that line of credit with the reverse mortgage adjustable rate, the higher the interest rate, the higher the growth rate.
Okay. Tell us a couple things you said there. When you're talking about the interest rate and the growth rate, explain that a little bit just so the people who are listening understand what you're talking about.
Sure. So a lot of times when people, let's say you own a home and you have $500,000 in equity and you owe $200,000 on the mortgage. So as a rule of thumb, I like to use 50%. You'd have access to 50%.
Right.
So we would pay off your present mortgage of $200,000. I would leave about $50,000 remaining. Well, if you choose not leaving that cash in the line of credit, it also has a growth rate. And the growth rate is 0.5% lower than the interest rate you're paying. So right now, let's say your interest rate is, 3%. Your growth rate on that $50,000 would be, 2.5.
Okay.
Which is pretty damn good.
That's
right?
Excellent, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know what? People, if they may not have a lot of money put aside for retirement or for emergencies or another safety net, they leave that money in the line of credit and just let it grow until they need it.
And when you say let it grow, what you mean is their ability to borrow is greater because the increase in value of the home?
No, because just the normal growth rate.
I see.
Once you close on your home, right?
Right.
I mean, once we do the appraisal, that's the value, right?
Right.
That's not going to change. So if you have remaining $50,000 sitting in that line of credit, it's almost like, like a credit card saying, oh, you're such a good client, Jeff. We're going to give you an extra, X amount of money to tap into.
I see.
Available for you to take.
I see. And that particular, how often does that growth rate grow?
That grows as long as that money's sitting in there. So if you have money in that line of credit, it's going to continuously grow until you use it. And you could actually see in some situations, people have a line of credit that's growing, and if the housing market cracks and the values go down, they could possibly have more money sitting in that line of credit than the home is worth.
Amazing. And that doesn't go away? That stays with the client?
That stays, as long as the loan is open, that stays there.
Oh, that's a good deal. That's almost like a hedge against a bad economy or a downturn in the market.
That absolutely is.
No, that's really a good idea and a good way by which you can, guarantee that you've got always money, especially, boomers are obviously getting older, right? I mean, this is a large growth sector in the group of people that do these types of loans. Obviously, you have to be 62 and above, at least one person in marriage does, in order to be able to do a reverse mortgage. How do you see the growth in that particular market? Do you see more boomers interested in this product because they're not burdened by a historical bias against, because in the 80s, when the product was not handled as well as it is, boomers weren't around in the 80s. I mean, really. I mean, they were as right. kids, but they weren't as buyers in this. Do you see a growth in reverse mortgages because boomers becoming older?
Well, I mean, granted, the population that was around in the 60s, you know, in the late 60s, 70s, and the beginning of the 80s is when all that negative stuff was happening.
Right.
Now, those people now kind of passing away, and so the new generation of the 62 and older hopefully have done a little more research or not aware of the bad rap as much.
I think that's it. I don't think there's as much of that negative information out there. Certainly you can Google search it and come up with all kinds of articles, but they're all dated from like a long, long time ago.
Yeah, a lot of the bad stuff you'll really see, it's pre-Ronald Reagan era.
That's right.
That's really what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, we have about a minute and a half left. I wanted to ask you to tell me the reverse mortgage product itself. What are quickly the qualifications? How does one go about getting it, and how do they contact you in order to get started?
Sure. So you have to, on the traditional reverse mortgage, at least one of the homeowners has to be 62 years or older. The other one can be younger, that's fine. You have to have some equity in the home. I like to use a thumb of 50%, just as a rule of thumb. And it has to be a primary home. Those are the qualifications, pretty much. We have some minor income qualifications, but nothing major.
Right.
We also have a proprietary product, which we could spend another time on, and that goes down to the age of 60.
Okay.
So even if you're 60 years old, you can get a reverse mortgage.
That's new. Well, you didn't tell me about that. That's new. I do want to get you back on to talk about that. But more importantly, you got to let people know how to get in touch with you, because not only are you an expert in this, but you're certified, one of the few 150 people in the country who are certified. Talk just briefly about that and then give up your contact information.
Sure. So I'm a certified reverse. There's only 100, less than 150 United States. It's awarded by NERMA, which is the Reverse Mortgage Association, and we kind of monitor and we hold high standards for the product. People can contact me usually by phone is the best.
Okay.
My telephone number is area code 480-635-2410.
Excellent. Nina, thank you very much for coming on, giving us the update on reverse. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. We have a radio show that is in 5 stations, 3 different states, Albuquerque up to Las Vegas, up to Tahoe, and certainly in Southern California, San Bernardino, Riverside counties, a little bit in L.A., a little bit in Orange counties. Really appreciate everybody listening. We're on about 10 different podcasts. We're on YouTube. We're kind of everywhere, and we try to keep expanding what we're doing, because what we're doing is bringing information about, you know, real estate, mortgages. Nobody talks about it really, other than trying to pitch you that they're the best. Well, I'm not the best. What I try to do is bring the best to the show, whether it's a account executive from a lender, whether it's a loan officer or a real estate agent, or in this particular case, Jamie Kinsler, who's been on the show before, has a new program. She's always been one to be helpful to both new businesses, entrepreneurs, but the show she has is called Down to Business. It's with Brian Blue, and she joins us now. She has a magazine as well. Jamie, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. Thanks so much for having me back.
Thank you very much. Okay, tell us about your business, what you do and how you do it, and how you help new people trying to open up a business or entrepreneurs looking for something to get into.
Yeah, so I've been my own boss as pretty much as far back as I can remember. And my partner, J.B. Yowell, also known as Brian Blue, that's his little show alias back when we had a radio show.
Right.
When I first met you.
Right.
And he's been the same way. So over the years, we've had radio shows, and we've had a marketing agency, and last year, at the beginning of last year, he founded a holding company. And so what I do, I came aboard to help him market this, but essentially, when we have this holdings company, we own a percentage of all of these businesses. We buy businesses. We start businesses. And so it's like a new entrepreneurial endeavor every week, you know?
Yep, I do.
We've got pizza place, comedy clubs. We've got a real estate company. We have an oil company. We have a deli that we just bought in downtown Fort Worth. So we're big on everyone being their own boss. And so
yep.
We started a show called Down to Business. And so what we're doing is it's kind of a three-headed monster. We have a great online community that we're getting ready to launch for self-made entrepreneurs, where we're going to have all kinds of resources and interviews with people that have done it. We've got a magazine that is going to come out at the beginning of October, I believe, and Mark Cuban's our cover boy. He did an interview with us, which was really exciting.
That's exciting.
About being a self-made entrepreneur. And we're also doing a reality show that shows the day-to-day about everything we do.
Interesting. Now, because you're doing all that, most people would go, I can't do that. That's ridiculous. I'm exhausted just hearing it. So in order to obviously do all this, capital is needed, money is needed, vision is needed, work ethic is needed. How does somebody start a business? How does somebody get into figuring out how to promote what they're doing? Can you give some advice on that?
Well, obviously, capital is crucial.
Yep.
But there are ways to start small and get that on your own. And then the most, the way that we do it is that we put together deals that are where investors are able to get a return on our success. And we are transparent and we're good for our word, you know. So what we do is we put together some partnerships and investors add that to their portfolios. And then we use that money to go acquire businesses that meet our investment thesis. So what I would say is you either have to be willing to start really slow and build up money, save money.
Yep.
And then for a while that you're going to turn around and you're going to invest in back into your business. Or you need to know how to, if you really know how to make money, then you can make money for other people. And creating, you know, really detailed investment decks and ways that you can be trustworthy to potential investors is huge. So, you know, capital is crucial for sure.
Now, value versus making a profit. How do you differentiate the two? And what do you say to potential investors who are looking at a business that might not yet be profitable, but has a tremendous value based on either their position or based on their technology or something that sets them apart from other people in the same market?
You know, that's always the hardest part is with any investment.
Yep.
But I found that no matter what your technology is and no matter what your deal is structured like, truthfully, what investors are investing in is you. And that's really what you have to sell people on. And a lot of that comes from being able to show a history of integrity, being able to have your online reputation managed in such a way that if an investor looks you up, they see nothing but positive things about you. You know, it's their job to do what they're best at. A lot of investors, you know, are people that have wealth that's not necessarily, and most frequently, not from the same areas that you specialize in, right? These are
right.
Possibly doctors or people with family money. So they don't care about all of the details of what you're doing. They want to know that they can trust you and that you're going to get them a return.
Yes, I agree with that. Mom and pop shops tend to have a fall in love with their own business, whereas investors are looking for, as you say, a return. How do you marry the two? How do you get people in a room to understand that without being insulted, I guess, is a good way to put it.
I want to make sure I'm understanding the question totally right, but I think what we do, you know, I mean, like, investors, it's not that they don't, that they would feel like their intelligence was insulted. It's that they just want to make sure that you are trustworthy enough that you have looked at all of these things. So every way that this could go south, they want to see that you've planned for. So
right.
They want to know, you know, their exit strategies. They want to know what happens if, you know, can we liquidate this if the risks starts to increase as we go. People want to understand a track record, you know. And then you're going to find some investors that want to know every detail down into the nitty-gritty. But for the most part, I think that your passion is what they buy into a lot. And so if you're passionate about something that you haven't thoroughly researched and you don't feel like it's going to make you money, then why on earth would you be asking anyone else to come aboard? So, you know, what we do is we create a way that investors can learn about the projects and then also learn about the company. And we hang out with people. You know, we give them as much information as they want. I hope I'm answering the question right, not just rambling.
No. I think what you're saying is the valuation process is not straightforward. It's based on a lot of personality, plus the figures, plus are you really capable, because we're thinking XYZ might happen. Have you thought about that? All of that is about this interaction, especially if someone's seeking money. What kind of money do businesses currently seek in the level of the groups that you're particularly working with?
Yeah, exactly. And you also want to make sure that you're, you know, the way you have it structured is that you're able to maybe bring people in for a smaller amount,
right.
Let them see return, let them become a part of the project, and then, you know, bump them up later, which they're going to want to do, and they're going to want to tell their friends about it. Our oil company that we have is, you know, oil companies are famously risky.
Right.
Investments.
Uh-huh.
We've been really fortunate that we've got such a strong geologic team, and we have such a strong administrative team that all of the people that came aboard when we did our first project, they get weekly updates. They've gotten returns that they're really happy about. And so the next project that we go to fund with them, I mean, we've already got verbal commitments to have the entire thing done because they've been happy with the way we do business. And so,
excellent.
You know, it's back to integrity and transparency with that, for sure.
Excellent. Hey, listen, could you do me a favor and let people know how they can contact you? Because this is a fascinating area that a lot of people don't know about and maybe looking for investments or a way by which they can get into this kind of business.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we our website is called downtobusiness.tv.
Okay.
It's actually the URL. We're launching our new website on Monday.
Excellent.
So it's going to be pretty impressive, and the magazine is going to be an incredible resource. We've interviewed people, you know, from YouTube influencers to people that just started their own business and have become multimillionaires. We did this great interview with a Dallas entrepreneur who is in real estate and commercial real estate, and we did this 2-hour-long interview with him, and he owns the W Hotel and used to earn the Virgin Hotel. Recently, it's gone through a little bit of scandal, but I'm going to leave that aside because his business practices that he teaches us about are really so detailed as far as, like, jumping in and cold calling and just working and working and working. And it's so interesting to see how far you can grow if you're just willing to put in that effort and be bold and trust yourself. So that's what Down to Business is all about, and people should check us out. They should read the magazine. They'll learn a lot from watching the reality show. It's downtobusiness.tv. You can get a hold of JB and I both there by submitting a form, and our email addresses are on the site.
Jamie, thanks very much for coming on. That's great information. Very exciting for you, and congratulations.
Thanks so much. I just hope everybody, you know, gets inspired and takes control of their own destiny. That's kind of our reason for doing all this.
I agree, and I think that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on. Thank you very much. That's Jamie Kinsler from... I'm sorry, I'm blanking here. Down to Business. Thank you very much. I'm Jeff Barton. Okay, bye. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.